What's up, guys? This is Zhixuan here, and in this podcast series, I hope to talk more about the current affairs which are affecting us. Each week, I will select a particular incident and elaborate on how it affects us in Singapore. Similarly, I'll bring over guest speakers each week to discuss their views on a particular matter. Stay tuned! Hi, good evening. Welcome to the third new episode of the New Views Juice. If you have been enjoying our recent episodes, please feel free to share this episode too, as it will provide us with much publicity needed. Now, and on today's episode, I'll be talking about if should Singapore save their green spaces, and how can you, as a listener, contribute to the discussion about land use. Firstly, let me provide you with some context in regards to Dover Forest. A couple of weeks ago, it is said that 33 hectares of Dover Forest is likely to be cleared by the government for the housing projects after being left untouched for over 40 years. The area has thus been zoned for residential use in the Urban Redevelopment Authority, or more commonly known URA Master Plan. As such, concerned citizens have released statements calling for the government to reconsider its decision. Some of these citizens have started petitions, the most popular being a campaign to protect Dover Forest. As of 23rd of January 2021, this petition has garnered over 34,000 signatures. So, why shouldn't Dover Forest be cleared? This is because advocates argue that Dover Forest has, among other reasons, considerable merits, such as acting as a safe haven for diverse wildlife. Did you know that it houses six locally critically endangered species? Additionally, it serves as a carbon sink to lower atmospheric concentration of carbon dioxide. Lastly, it acts as a resource that gives citizens a sense of well-being, as green spaces have been proven to be useful in stress reduction and improving recovery from physical and mental illnesses. However, this isn't the first time citizens have rallied to save green areas from development. If you have might not known, groups such as the Nature Society of Singapore had previously successfully argued for the conservation of green spaces. Let me provide you some examples of it. In 1992, Lower Pierce Reservoir. 2002, Sungai Buloh Wetland Reserves. And 2008, Kranji Marshes. The public pushback has also led the state to roll back its development plans for areas such as Chek Jawa, and serve as the basis of initiatives like the Green Corridor. These cases prove that citizens can make their voices heard in a national conversation about land use. So, you might be worried that Dover Forest could be another Bukit Brown. In 2011, the government announced plans to build a dual four-lane expressway over part of Bukit Brown Cemetery, a Chinese cemetery regarded by certain members of the public as a worthy of conservation due to its historical, cultural, and ecological significance. As such, the activists united. As with Dover Forest, citizens were concerned that Singapore might lose a historically and culturally significant landmark with rich biodiversity. As such, heritage and nature groups join forces to call for Bukit Brown's preservation. So, what did they do? These groups released reports, wrote statements, held art exhibitions, launched public presentations, and engaged the government by sending joint letters and attending meetings. So you now may be wondering, was it successful? Whilst construction at Bukit Brown has continued as a result of their efforts, civil society groups and advocates were invited to collaborate with government agencies on various projects and communities concerned with the historical, cultural, and ecological value of Bukit Brown. Firstly, grants were given to support the group's message and outreach efforts. For instance, the book World War II at Bukit Brown, which aimed to highlight the area's historical significance, was published with the support of a partial grant from the National Heritage Board. Secondly, citizens were included in the assessment process. Advocates were invited to meet the National Heritage Board's Impact Assessment and Mitigation Division, and were given seats at the Working Committee on Bukit Brown, chaired by the Ministry of National Development. And as such, I believe that your voice matters. As media coverage intensified and calls for Dover Forest conservation proliferated over social media, politicians have begun to comment on the issue. Workers' Party's MP Dennis Tan and Nicosia have called for the outcomes of the Ministry of National Development's public consultation over Dover Forest to be available to the public. Soon after, MP Christopher De Souza announced that he had filed an adjournment motion in Parliament titled Preservation of Dover Forest in Ulu Padang. MP Louis Ng also stated that he would raise this topic in Parliament. So you now may be wondering, how, as a Singaporean, can I contribute in this discussion? Number one, you could educate yourself on this issue. You may wonder, how should ecological and heritage conservation be balanced against the residential needs of a growing population? Are they mutually exclusive? Number two, speaking up. You can write to your MP, engage in public consultations when they arise. Recall that, as the case of the Bukit Brown shows, effective advocacy can take many forms. So now, for my own personal opinion, and the debate as to whether nature and development can coexist in urbanized Singapore. In a growing population with much needs to be fulfilled, Singapore, being a tiny nation, requires land to meet its housing demands. And as such, a conflict arises when the Singaporean government needs to find land in which Dover Forest seems to be plentiful of to provide enough housing for their own citizens. However, it will face backlash from nature and advocacy groups because of its diminishing green spaces that Singapore is currently facing. So, what are the alternatives where we could find possible compromises between both parties who seek to have more housing spaces for the growing population and the environmental groups who hope to conserve as much green space as possible? As quoted in the new Channel News Asia article, the Nature Society Singapore has proposed that the entirety of Dover Forest be conserved as a public nature park, citing its importance as a stepping stone for wildlife connectivity. Linking forests in the southern regions to areas such as Bukit Batok Nature Park and Bukit Timah Nature Reserve. Preserving the forest would benefit critically endangered species such as the straw-headed bulbul and the buffy fish owl. The NSS said, adding that 10 hectares of the site could be set aside as a public park. The group also suggested three alternative sites for an HDB development, including a 14.5 hectare open field at the junction of Dover Road and North Buona Vista Road. The COVID-19 pandemic has provided an opportunity for greater emphasis on sustainable property development, said property analyst Hong Ka Sing. Even so, the scarcity of land in Singapore means green spaces may eventually have to make way for new property development, he said. As push comes to shove, with land-scarce Singapore continually grappling with perennial issues of competing and conflicting uses, it could be fairly utopian and overreaching to gazette or indefinitely preserve nature areas, said Mr. Ong, which I agree with, suggesting that purpose-built parks could take the place of natural forested areas. And as such, we kind of tame the wild rather than making nature exist on its own, which is kind of sad in my own opinion. And in its feedback to the HDB study on Dover Forest, the NSS called for more serious exploration of alternative sites for redevelopment, suggesting that more golf courses be redeveloped and old industrial sites to be revamped. But Institute of Policy Studies senior research fellow Wu Junjie said such an approach may not be feasible when it comes to urban planning. I can see the logic of trying to find other smaller spots to build residential areas, but from a planning perspective, that may not make such sense. Because when you plan a town, you need certain kind of amenities. And if you look at a certain way we have developed estates like Biradiri, Tengah, there's a certain size that you need to develop a whole town. Conservation and development are not two opposing viewpoints, NSS President Sean Long Tham said it. He cited an example of the Bidari estate, where efforts were made to preserve as much of the area's natural woodland as possible when housing was being built. Dr. Lam said he was hopeful that any development in the Dover area would be able to preserve a significant amount of greenery. Mr. Ng, the MP, recalled that in previous instances, efforts were made to save the animals by moving them from redeveloped areas to nature reserves. But he cautioned, you can only do that so many times, pushing all the animals into one area. And in this case, it will be quite far a push to the next forest. So this conflict arises between development versus sustainability. The balancing act between Singaporeans' urban development and the preservation of the country's natural environment has surfaced numerous times over the years. The construction of the 10 km Bukit Timah Expressway in the 80s led to the contiguous forested area in central Singapore being split into Bukit Timah and Central Catchment Nature Reserves. The two were only reunited with the 2013 completion of the 16 million eco-link at BKE, a 62-meter long wildlife link over the expressway which allows animals to cross between the two nature reserves. And between 1994 and 2014, an average of 2 Sunda pangolins, a critically endangered animal according to the International Union for Conservation of Nature, were found dead every year on major roads across and around the Bukit Timah and Central Catchment Nature Reserves, according to the National Parks Board. More recently, there were several debates of whether the future 50 km cross-island MRT line should go under or around the Central Catchment Area Reserve, the largest of Singapore's 4 nature reserves. This ended with the government deciding 2 years ago that the MRT line would take a 2 km route running 70 meters under the nature reserves. And as such, this closes the chapter for the Dover Forest controversy. That's all the time we have for today. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you like this episode and the previous episodes that was made in this podcast series, I hope we can spread the word, as publicity is very important for us. And once again, this is Zixuan, your host, signing off. Bye-bye.